Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 21. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as days of old. I'm preaching about caught in the middle. Read the entire chapter of the fifth chapter of Lamentations, and you'll find terrible things are happening. Our inheritance is turned to strangers and our houses to aliens. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money, and our wood is sold unto us. Our necks are under persecution, and we labor and have no rest. We have given the hand to the Egyptians and to the Syrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Servants have ruled over us, and there is none that doth deliver out of their hand. We get our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. They ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the city of Jerusalem. Princes are hanged up by the hand, and the faces of elders were not honored. They took the young men to grind, and the children fell under the wood. The elders have ceased from the gate, and the young men from their music. The joy of heart is ceased, and the dance is turned to mourning, and the crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us! We have sinned! This is not a heathen writing. This is not a ingrate making declarations. This is not, some vile person. This is one of the holy men of old that God moved on to write the Bible. Jeremiah. Caught in it. Caught in the middle. Amen. For this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. Because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, and foxes walk upon it. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. A word of hope, a glimmer of light. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us for so long a time? Jeremiah, a holy man of hope, he's praying, renew us, O Lord, as in days of old. But thou hast utterly rejected us, and thou art very wroth against us. Judgment is in the land upon sinners, and the man of God is caught in the middle. Amen. E.M. Bounds was a pastor of a Methodist church in central Missouri. The Methodist Episcopal Church was called there Methodist Episcopal South because it was southern part of that district in Missouri, even though it wasn't in the South. During the outbreak of the Civil War, because it was called the Methodist Episcopal South, the Union soldiers rode across the line and made havoc of the churches there and persecuted the pastors, forcing them into the camp of the South. The Civil War had started, and E.M. Bounds was caught in the middle. He became a chaplain in the Confederate Army and was in the campaign for Atlanta. At night he would have prayer and scripture reading with Confederate troops after doctoring the wounded and ministering to the sick. All day long he would have prayer and sing with them. And those poor homesick boys was ready to have the gospel preached to them. As E.M. Bounds preached the gospel to Confederate troops, Across no man's land their songs ring out. And the Union troops also far, far away from home and away from church and away from Mama's God, they heard the singing and they joined in the songs. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And there was peace across no man's land that day. Because E.M. Bounds, who had survived the Civil War and write his books on prayer, which all our preachers still read. E.M. Bounds, a Confederate chaplain, a Confederate officer. Yes, he was caught in the middle. There was really nothing else he could do under the circumstances. Amen. Multiplicities and multiplicities of people. Amen. Down through the ages in a time of war and misunderstanding and conflict. Amen. Have been caught in the middle. Amen. American boy, a prisoner to the Japanese, was next to the wire, away from all the rest of the boys and their type of language and their attitudes and such. He got down on his knees, off over there to himself, close to the barbed wire fence, and prayed. A Japanese soldier walked back and forth in front of him. And finally the Japanese soldier looked this way and that way, and he leaned close to the fence and said in a louder whisper, "You Christian?" And the American boy said, "Yes." He said, "Me Christian too." And there was fellowship that day through the fence. One Christian caught in the middle. Amen. Met another and had fellowship through the wire. Praise God. We're facing conflict again today. The terrible designs of the enemy have made our people wonder which side to fall on. Amen. Jeremiah took the big chance, obeyed God, and told the people to fall into the hands of the king of Babylon. It's God's will. It's God's whip. It's God's chastening. Amen. And they said, "You're unpatriotic, Jeremiah," and threw him in the dungeon. They said, as Jeremiah went out of the gates of the city to look after his property, you're going over to the enemy. And they grabbed him again and threw him in prison. They imprisoned him so many times that the rats knew his number. Amen. They imprisoned Jeremiah so many times at one time a black slave who was also caught in the middle. Amen. Made some a hoist out of a rope and some rotten rags and pulled Jeremiah out of the mud. Jeremiah pronounced a blessing on Ebed-Melech because he had saved him as he sank in the mire. Amen. They were both caught in the middle. Amen. There are a dozen flashpoints across the world today. There are 800,000 refugees in Rwanda and the surrounding area. Hundreds of thousands have floated down the river. Amen. And threatened to pollute the lake at the end of the river. Amen. We learned our lesson in Somalia. As our boys were attacked by the red people, they went to help. Amen. And so we pulled out in many of those flash points, and we have chosen one. We chosen to fight in Kosovo. We have chosen to bomb Yugoslavia into submission. Why? I'll never know. When there are a dozen places that we could have attacked, there are a dozen places that we could have avenged the blood of our missionaries and didn't do it. Amen. There are a dozen places that we could have avenged the thousands of innocents that have been slain. Amen. Genocide, you say? Genocide is one of the earmarks of any war. Genocide was one of the earmarks of the South. Genocide was one of the earmarks of the North in the Civil War. Amen. Sherman's march across the South, burning houses. Amen. And taking the food from little children's mouths and leaving them to starve was a form of genocide. But Sherman was pronounced a hero because he was on the winning side. Amen. We name our tanks after Sherman. But the E.M. Bounds and the men of God that chose to be neutral and try to minister to both sides were caught in the middle when father was against brother and brother against brother and household against household. Some were divided right down the middle. Amen. The Hatfields in West Virginia, amen, chose a West Virginia side. The McCoys, amen, on the Virginia side went with the South. And already the flames of the Hatfield-McCoy feud was flamed and fanned by the Civil War. As brother fought against brother, amen, as household was against household, as they killed each other wholesale. And genocide, that's part of war. Amen. We just made a choice. It made the newspapers, it made the media, amen, and they made the war famous. But Saddam Hussein and a dozen others could have run away with half of the world while it was happening, and no one would have known about it. Amen. Because we chose to give our publicity to Yugoslavia. Amen. And Milosevic, if that's the correct pronunciation. Kosovo. Amen. And all of those surrounding countries at one time made up the land of Macedonia. What do we do? Which side do we take? Amen. We find ourselves once again caught in the middle. And now, like flies caught in a spider web, our jets, our missiles, and our battleships are in it for the finish, they say. If a third world war starts, we're in it for the finish. Is this the beginning of the end, as men in their madness destroy each other? Amen. As the Serbs chase the Kosovites from their homes and pillage and burn their cities. Amen. Of course, Milosevic, or whatever his name is got to have the money from their banks to rebuild his bridges that the United States and NATO is bombing. And we'll wind up rebuilding the bridges of Yugoslavia and their buildings. Amen. And our taxpayers will wind up giving them billions of dollars even if we win. And we'll wind up getting bit by the Muslim refugees who are like snakes that are coiled to strike. And if they can't find an enemy, they'll strike us. And here's what you'll hear in the very near future. If you'd have left us alone, if you'd have stayed out of our business, if you'd have stayed out of our fight, we might have still at least had a chance at home. But you meddled. Amen. And so we're in trouble today. What are we going to do? We're going to have to do just like Jeremiah did. We're going to have to find the will of God for our lives. Be a good Samaritan. Pour in the wine and oil where we can. Feed the hungry where we can. Amen. House the homeless where we can. Clothe the cold and dying and sick where we can. Amen. And do the best we can of this thankless task of being neutral in a war that ought not never have been. Amen. Amen. We're caught in the Kosovo syndrome. What should be our attitude? Whether captive or whether free. What should be our attitude? Whether we become one of the refugees or one of the slaves or one of the prisoners of war. A little girl was captured by the Assyrian host as they made many a raid across the line into Israel. She was taken slave and became a handmaid, amen, to Naaman, the big general of Syria, household. Amen. There's one problem, however. Naaman was a leper. The little girl was touched with compassion. She was steeped in the Judeo ethic. She knew the Bible. She knew about God. And she had probably personally seen Elijah, the prophet. And she said, if my Lord could just get down to the man of God, he could pray for him and he would be healed. Well, the news was taken to Naaman the leper. And he sent a message to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel, sitting on his throne, said, he's trying to start a war. He's looking for occasion against me. I can't heal nobody. Amen. Elijah got wind of it, whether by revelation or of gossip, I don't know. But he said, send him down to me. I'll take care of it. Praise God. And so they sent Syrian general Naaman down to Elijah the prophet, and his entourage come riding up with gold and silver and changes of garment to reward the healer. Well, he got healed. Billy Sunday pictured Elijah, amen, with his leg cocked up across his table, writing from the Word of God. Amen. And Gehazi comes running in and said, Naaman, the Syrian general, is here to be prayed for. And Elisha, don't even quit writing. He says, go tell him to dip 7 times in the River Jordan and he'll be healed. Amen. The Syrian general went into a rage. He said, are not Pharpar and the rivers of Damascus better water than Jordan? And I've got to dip in old nasty polluted Jordan. Amen. And as he rode in his rage back toward his country, thinking about vengeance, his servant began to reason with him. He too was caught in the middle. But his thinking wasn't injured. He said, if he had told you to conquer army, you'd have done that, wouldn't you? If he told you to conquer enemy, you'd have done that, wouldn't you? Amen. If he told you to do some great task, you'd have did that, wouldn't you? Yeah. Well, all he asked you to do was dip 7 times. That ought to be easy enough. Well, praise God, he talked him into it. And old Naaman swallowed his pride and walked down to the River Jordan. Billy Sunday pictures him sticking his big toe in the water first. And dancing, all right, it's cold. Amen. And finally at last he got up the nerve. You know, Mammoth Spring, it was so cold you didn't get in it gradual. You had to jump in all at once or you'd back out. And then if you stayed in, you turned blue if you stayed in too long. And so the only way to swim in Mammoth Spring, 58 degrees a year round. Now, folks, that's cold. 70 will set you to trembling and shaking if you stay in it very long. Amen. But 58 degrees, forget it. But we swam in Mammoth Spring when it was turning us stiff and blue. We'd get out and set in the sun a while. Amen. Then we'd climb up in that sycamore tree 25 foot above the water and we'd sit there dreading it. And I would wait until several young ladies came up that I might want to impress before I finally got up nerve enough to jump. And I would dive 20 or 25 feet into Mammoth Spring to impress the girls. Amen. Naaman wasn't trying to impress anybody. He just swallowed his pride and decided to bow, if you will, to eat crow, if you will, Amen. Dip 7 times in the River Jordan. You know the rest of the story. Amen. After 7 times going down and coming up, his skin became as new as a baby. And one of the miracles of the Old Testament was wrought because a little slave girl appeared in Damascus. Amen. Was faithful in her testimony for God. Through these times of trial in America, where we hardly know which side to fall upon, we sympathize with the Muslim masses of refugees that are flowing out of Kosovo, even though Mohammed's troops did the same thing to Jerusalem and took it over. And now, all because Mohammedan rode into Jerusalem, those holy places where the temple once stood still house 2 large churches, 2 large temples of the Muslim faith. And God had brought judgment upon Israel through the Muslims because they crucified the Lord. God may use them again in these last days to bring judgment upon a backslidden, apostate, corrupt church. And that's what the Orthodox masses were afraid of in Macedonia. And that's why the Orthodox priests of Canada and America have brought suit against Slick Willie for his war against Yugoslavia. It's because they're afraid that the Muslims will do the same thing in Yugoslavia that they did in Jerusalem. In Mindanao of the Philippines, the second largest island of 7,020 or some odd islands of the Philippines, second only to Luzon, which is the largest island, the island is becoming primarily Muslim. Even though guns are outlawed, they carry guns. And their militant rebels, amen, openly defy the government. Mindanao is the first foothold of the Muslim hordes that will eventually disrupt the government of the Philippines, because they are a militant religion, if you will. Not only will they disrupt the government in the Philippines, they have already disrupted the government in Malaysia and Indonesia and are taking over in all those countries. Amen. Men are being voted into power by a majority of Muslims in those countries. Missionary activity will go down the river when the Muslims take over. It'd be very difficult to get a missionary in edgewise when Muslims take over those countries. But it's judgment against their corrupt religions. It's judgment against Romanism. It's judgment against the Hindus and the various other Asiatic religions, amen, that dominate and did dominate China and Japan and all of Southeast Asia in ages past. The Christians and the missionaries increasingly find themselves caught in the middle. Could I say, without being misunderstood today, it had to happen. It is judgment in these last days. Amen. And we as a minority are going to find ourselves caught in the middle and striving to minister as best we can to both sides, except in some of those areas where we decided that it was necessary to make an example of one nation like Yugoslavia as to what we can and might do if they get too far out of hand. But there's more than a dozen of them that's out of hand already in this world. And judgment is encroaching upon our borders because one man can carry enough on his back into a building in New York to disrupt the subway and communications anywhere he wants to make the sacrifice. Amen. If the judgment does not come without, from without, by the Muslims, it'll come within. As our own kids grow up shooting things on their video games, taking people out, they learn about, they sit for hours killing people in their video games. I preach against them. Amen. Hallelujah. And now they don't think anything about taking people out. And so two boys arm themselves of our own yuppie generation. Amen. They've got enough money to buy bomb materials. They got enough money to buy guns. They intended to blow up that school. They already had the bombs planted. Amen. It was a stroke of divine mercy. They didn't do more harm than what they did. They became willing to make the sacrifice without a conscience, without a thought of God, without a thought of eternal hell or retribution. They walked into that school and shot people. And judgment has started in America. From without and within. Because not too far from here, just down the road, there's a big Muslim temple. Amen. Oh, yes. And they're coming across our borders in a land that's abused its freedom, in a land that's forgot its God. Amen. We better pray. We better get a hold of God. We better repent. Preachers better take their congregation back to righteousness. Praise God. Because sooner or later, this minority of the Jeremiahs and the Ezekiel was a minority. Ezekiel was caught in the middle. Ezekiel found himself sitting by the river among the captives, seeing visions of a better day. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found themselves among the slaves. They were taken back to Babylon. What was the attitude of these boys? Kill them all. Kill them all. That's what Wyatt Earp said he would do when they shot his brother. What are you going to do, Wyatt? Said, well, kill them all. But Daniel didn't take that attitude. Amen. You know what he said to that king when that king yelled down in the lion's den that he just throwed him in the night before? Oh, Daniel! Is thy God continually able to deliver thee? Amen. Daniel said, oh, King, live forever. Now, folks, that's the right attitude toward a king that just threw you in the lion's den the night before. Amen. And you can get mad, and you can get all bent out of shape and want to kill somebody. But the right attitude is the attitude that Daniel had. O King, live forever. My God has shut the lion's mouth. And you know what? Daniel lived through the dynasty of five of them. Amen. And he was still praying and walking with God and serving faithfully when he was 90 years old. Praying for more revelations. Amen. Close the book, Daniel. Don't tell the rest of it. As for you, he said, thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot in the last days. It pays to live for God, folks. Don't let the situation that's developing across this world bend you out of shape, even though it arouses my righteous indignation and it gets down my red neck. Amen. Amen. But I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. Stand with me. Some of you young folks are caught in the middle in school. Some of you guys are caught in the middle at work. Amen. Some of you folks are caught in the middle at the office. What do? Keep a right attitude. Live for God. Some of you are caught in the middle right in your own family like me. But look at me real good. I lived for God long enough that I won. And a bunch of them wound up praying to my God. Amen. As they sang, we invite you to an altar of prayer. Father God, touch our lives and anoint us and use us for your praise, your honor, and your glory. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.